This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, working with farmers to meet the challenges of the day. Learn more at syngenta-us.com. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins next. At Syngenta, we talk to U.S. farmers and growers every day to hear their concerns and help them meet their challenges. From research and development to create innovative products to digital solutions to reduce water use and create healthy soil. We work hand in hand with America's men and women who feed and power the world. Our highly skilled teams are at the forefront of connecting technology to utilize mobile apps, aerial imagery, and other advances to enable farmers and growers to make smart application and buying decisions for their farms. When our farmers have a successful crop, we all benefit. And Syngenta is proud to work alongside farmers to help them make the best decisions now and the future of their farm. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at syngenta-us.com. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. From a farm in Texas to the White House and now Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins has been about the business of serving agriculture. Less than 24 hours after being sworn in as the 33rd Ag Secretary, Rollins found herself in Louisville, Kentucky, being introduced in Freedom Hall as the new lead of the Department of Agriculture. Rollins says it was a very nice way to celebrate Valentine's Day.
It was amazing. I did tell my husband back in Texas, I said, listen, it's Valentine's Day. I'm going to Kentucky. I'm going to go have a date with 20,000 plus farmers. Love for you to come with me, but that's where I will be. And unfortunately, he couldn't make it this year, but next year, hopefully he'll come. Listen, it was exactly why I am so excited for this job. Mm-hmm. It's why I agreed to do it. Navigating the swamps of Washington is not anything that was ever part of anything I wanted to do, but the idea of fighting for all of the men and women that are in Freedom Hall tonight, that are our farmers, that keep the world fed, not just America fed, is the greatest honor of my life.
When I think about the job that you have, yes, we can say we're going to Washington and fight, but everybody who's running for office says, I'm going to Washington to fight. Ultimately, Washington is about governance and about working together, give and take. And I would think one of our priorities is being fed. So that gives you a leg up in any negotiation that's going on.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, we just finished, it seems like a few weeks ago, but just yesterday is when the Senate voted on me, yesterday morning, to confirm my appointment. And then I was sworn in by Justice Clarence Thomas in the afternoon. And I've had so many people ask me, are you so glad the process is over? And I said, I guess in one way, yes, but really, it was a remarkable experience, and mostly because of what you just said, that I sat down with Democrats in the United States Senate. I sat down with Republicans in the United States Senate. My approach was, how do we figure out what we can agree on, and then how can we work together? And everyone agrees that agriculture is a huge priority. We would all argue the number one priority, but there are so many opportunities to work together to elevate and honor the ag community. And so it's been a really incredible few months since the announcement.
It's heartening that Mr. Lincoln obviously got the ball rolling at the Department of Agriculture. If you're in manufacturing, you find ways to do a better job of making the machine. It's a something. Yeah. It's a product. But your department is different because you're working with life. Mm-hmm. You're working with the environment. You're working with soil. And there's got to be a relationship between the steward and the soil and the ability to continue to grow and feed people. Yours is much different than any other department, I think, in Washington.
I agree. And you think back to America's birthday is next year, 250 years old. And you think back to the Revolution and the founding fathers, you know, we're all going to hang together, if not separately. And so the idea that they were willing to stand up and stand together and create this best country in the history of the world through the idea of self-governance, and that no one should tell us what to do as Americans. We have that decision authority. Those were farmers. It was farmers that fought the revolution. It was farmers that built the country. It was our ag community that created the backbone of the hard work and the discipline and the love of the land and the passion for creating and producing. This is what really makes America great. And so that's what's exciting.
How many people out of World War II volunteered to go with one dream of standing for freedom, but to just come back home and farm?
I'm going to go fight for freedom, and then I want to go home and farm. And I would even go back before World War II, back to Abraham Lincoln's time in the Civil War, back to the War of 1812, back to the initial Revolutionary War. The whole idea was, once we won and we're setting up a brand new government, that when you were called to serve, whomever you were, you would go to Washington, you would serve for a couple of years, and then you'd go home to your farm. And it was funny, even in the last administration, I worked for President Trump in the last White House, I used to say, what makes the Trump administration different, and this was 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, is that we're like the original leaders of the country, in that we all just wanted to go serve, and then we wanted to go home to our farm. The farm looked different 4 or 5 years ago, right? For some, it was going back to their real estate profession in New York. For others, it was headed home to Indiana. For me, it was going back to Texas. But at the end of the day, the literal farm, the figurative farm, the metaphorical farm, that's really what this whole country is based on, is serving, is promoting self-governance, is protecting the Constitution, doing our part, and then going back to our farm. So
you've worked for Donald Trump before in a previous administration. Now you're working for him again. I'm curious, did he give you a job description of, this is what I expect?
Working for President Trump, for me, is one of the great honors of my lifetime. You know, you hear a lot of other people who say otherwise, but keep in mind, those are the people that I think in his mind never made the cut, right? They couldn't keep up. They couldn't effectively execute his vision. They couldn't thrive. You know, his bar was so high in terms of what he expected, the level of commitment and passion and, frankly, intellect for the job, and just like he ran his business. So for me, his only directive to me has always been, just go do what's right and never stop fighting for America. When he and I talked about this particular job, it was, Brooke, you know, those are my people. They were with me from the minute I went down the escalator in 2015. They were with me through 2016. They were with me in 2020. And now in 2024, when 90%+ of our ag community votes for President Trump, this is where his heart is. This is who his people are. And so I think the directive for me from him is just never stop working on behalf of this community, never stop fighting, and that ultimately he sincerely believes, and hopefully I will do the job he expects me to do, that will bring greater prosperity, bring prosperity to the corners of America and to rural America that maybe they haven't seen in their lifetimes, and that we'll really be able to, in 4 years, say we truly not only made America great again, but we made agriculture great again. I'm so excited.
One of the things I hope you get to do is implement a new farm bill, but we'll leave that for another day.
We'll interview on that another day. I'm working on it.
I know that you have a lot of talent, but there is the part of either doing the work or directing the work. Mm-hmm. In order for you to accomplish all the many things at the USDA, you need a team. So what's the process now? I mean, you've barely got the seat warm of being the secretary. What's the task now, or what's the mindset of building the team at USDA to accomplish the goals?
I've always said that, you know, God gives all of us different talents, and we're all called to do different things. My calling, unexpectedly, sometimes God has a different plan for you than you have for yourself. I did not expect to be in the last White House. God had a different plan. I did not expect to be the Secretary of Agriculture. God had a different plan, and Donald Trump, by the way. But for me, my fastball, I believe, has always been finding the most amazing people, the best talents out there, those that are willing to serve others and serve a bigger cause, not themselves, that don't care who get the credit, that are part of the team that becomes the family. And now having the opportunity to build that at USDA is, again, one of the great blessings. And the team we've begun to build, but only just begun, is some of the smartest, most incredible, most dedicated men and women I've ever worked with. And one of the great sort of unexpected joys of the last few weeks and honestly the last month or so in building that team and interviewing people and preparing for this day is that I have been really, really impressed at the incredible level and quality of people that are out there. So now we take on the United States Department of Agriculture, 106,000 employees, 29 different departments, 8 undersecretaries. This is a massive organization that cuts across almost every layer of American life in this country. But our call, our passion, our directive, and our promise to America is that we will take that. We take it seriously. We never stop working. We build the strategic plans. We figure out how to measure success, which government doesn't do very often or very well. We figure out how to measure success. And in 4 years, when I walk out of that office for the last time, my prayer, my goal, my mission, my vision is that we will have truly made agriculture great again, that we will have worked across all party lines to do so, and that at the end of the day, people will never know my name, but there will be a little Brooke Leslie in a little town somewhere in Texas that believes that anything is possible because of the country into which she was born, not because of her last name or lack of a bank account. And I think that's what we're fighting for every day, is that American dream in rural America.
It is unfair to go deep into the weeds on so many different issues, but there are just a few that I wanted to give you the opportunity to speak to because I know there are questions in the country. You brought up the number of employees. Mm-hmm. We're about the business of this administration of downsizing, but yet from the agriculture's perspective, it is the county level. It is the people at the FSA offices. It's those who, sure, who help. They're the boots on the ground that make it go. How do you balance this, knowing your boss's goal, but knowing the need to serve your customer?
Listen, the end of the day, there is zero doubt in my mind, and you can already see some of the numbers coming in. The SNAP program, which is food stamps, has grown 30% to 40% just in the last 4 years. That's billions and billions of dollars and untold numbers of new people that have come to work for the government, the climate programs, the DEI programs. Just in the last 24 hours, we've canceled almost 100 DEI programs. How do we redirect and refocus that money on what the original intent of the department is, which was not for big government, not for big bureaucracies, but for the farmers and the ranchers and our ag communities. To your point, the government that is closest to the people, that's our founder's intent and our founder's vision. The great people working in the local FSA offices and the other offices, those are the people that we will rely on the most to make sure that we're doing our job, that we're measuring our success. I have 100% confidence that while we are streamlining, we're figuring out how to be more effective, we are downsizing, that at the end of the day, we will actually be able to serve our customers better having gone through this process than where we are today.
There's one other element that you will have, and I think you have your work cut out for you with this, just history telling me. I have tremendous respect for former Secretary Tom Vilsack. He obviously held the chair for some time, but he was quick to point out that I don't tell EPA what to do, and I don't tell Interior, and I don't, he has to work among other cabinet members. You also have to work among other cabinet members with EPA on renewable fuel, with Interior with regard to lands and grazing, with Health and Human Services, perhaps
right,
some challenges for technology, but a goal of health for everyone. You've got to work with all of the cabinets. So what's your approach as you stay in your lane, but at the same time, you make your point to those who are influential with the success, ultimately, of agriculture in the U.S.?
I love this question, Jeff, and you were the first person to ask me, so thank you. Here's what I will say. I believe I have an amazing opportunity because I was in the West Wing for 3 years in the last administration. I am not starting from scratch, if you will, on how the executive branch runs. I may agree to disagree with Secretary Vilsack just slightly. I think that there is an incredible opportunity. While I can't tell the EPA what to do, Lee Zeldin is a very dear friend of mine. He helped me build the America First Policy Institute. Why I can't tell Doug Burgum at Interior what to do, he and I have worked together together for years and years when he was the governor up in North Dakota. Well, I can't tell Chris Wright over at Energy what to do. The collegiality, the collaboration, frankly, the love that this cabinet has for each other. Bobby Kennedy, to your point on Health and Human Services, is one of my newer partners, if you will. But we've been talking since August of last year. Not that I ever thought, or he probably either, that we'd be in the cabinet together, but that his entire movement was based around how to make America healthy again. And for all of us, especially maybe for the moms with kids at home, that really rang true. And is there a way for his work and my work to be aligned and to work for a better America? Of course there is. But when we disagree, we disagree. We go to President Trump, we debate it out in front of him, and then he decides. But at the end of the day, I believe very, very strongly that the opportunity, maybe for the first time since the beginning years of America, there you will have a cabinet, and you will see a cabinet that will work more closely together for the betterment of our customers, which are the American people, than we've perhaps ever seen in our lifetime. And I think that'll make all the difference.
Our thanks to U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta, working with farmers to meet the challenges of the day. Learn more at syngenta-us.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.